The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, and Happy New Year. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. I am so excited to be speaking with you as we begin 2026. In 2026, the Lord is saying that is going to be a period of great harvest, manifestation, but also dramatic changes. All of us are going to experience a big jolt. Some of us are going to be jolted into positions. Some of us are going to be jolted out of positions, but it's going to be a jolt. And in this year, the true government of God will emerge. Many in the body of Christ will be jolted, and those who insist on doing things the way they've done them before, they're going to miss this train. In fact, some Christians will even try to stop those that are doing the things of God because they're doing it in a different way, with new things, maybe even unconventional things. So some will try to stop the things of God, but they will fail to stop this move of God. A desperation for the things of God is going to arise, especially among the young Christians. And these are all good things. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." So this move of God that God is bringing in 2026, it is a new thing. And we are instructed that we are to forget about the way we have done things in the past, the way we have prayed in the past, even the way we've studied in the past. All of these things where we marry methods of different ways of doing things. God needs us to set all of those aside. Even if God moved through you in the past, you need to lay aside those things that you did in the past and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in this new season. We have to forget the former things. That means the good and the bad. Because God is bringing a move of God, the likes of which has never happened in the history of the church. And it's time for us, His church, to enroll in the school of the Holy Spirit. Notice, I'm not saying the school of the Bible, the school of the Holy Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit lead us every day now. In Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 18, it says, "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, 'How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?' Jesus answered, 'How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast.'" Verse 21, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." This is what God is telling us concerning this move of God that He is stirring up in 2026. Forget the old. If you try to reproduce what you've done in the past, re-implement what you have done in the past, whether they worked or whether they didn't work, the ways that you quoted the scriptures, the ways that you prayed, the ways that you tried to usher forth the presence of God, or whatever it is that you did, in this season, relying on that old revelation, it's like what Jesus said here. If you try to take a new patch of cloth that has not been shrunk and attach it to an old garment, it will tear away and make the tear worse. If you try to pour new wine into old wineskins, The old wineskins will burst. You will not be successful. And in this example, Jesus is responding to them talking about how his disciples aren't fasting, because that's what's always traditionally been done. Well, the disciples of John the Baptist, the disciples of the Pharisees, they fast often. Why don't you fast? Well, it was a new season. And it was a season where the Son of God was walking among men. So the way they carried themselves was different. And let me ask you this. Who performed more miracles, Jesus or the Pharisees? Jesus and his disciples, or John the Baptist and his disciples? We know the answer to this. It was Jesus and his disciples. There was more miracles performed by Jesus. And I know what you're saying. Oh, Josh, yes, obviously, Jesus performed more miracles. In this season, those that yield to the Holy Spirit accept the new ways of doing things that God brings forth, more miracles will happen through them. The Spirit of God will be with them, and the anointing will be stronger in them. This is part of that big jolt, like you got yanked or something, that God is talking about, that he is doing in 2026. You cannot mix the old with the new. And if you have created this kind of thing where you think you understand how things are supposed to be done, how we're supposed to pray, how you're supposed to talk with God, if you think that that's locked in stone, that you understand all of these things, understand you're operating under pride and hubris. So we need to refocus and pursue God. Now, alongside this great change that's happening in 2026, one of these changes is that a new breed of rulers is going to arise. And these are men and women that will not depend solely on the giving of others, right? Like the tithes and the offerings. This is part of the manifestation of what the Lord said, that he is raising up prophets and apostles like that of Abraham or like that of Daniel. For these new leaders, God will give them ideas, inventions, business concepts with which they will be able to generate the resources necessary that they won't have to rely on the giving of others. Because something that has been happening in the church is that you have many leaders that rely solely on the giving of others, and they feel entitled even to the tithes and the offerings, that they think that the tithes and offerings belong to them when they're supposed to go to God. And another thing that happens is that some ministries, well, they'll go easier on their wealthy members of the congregation because they pay the bills through their tithes. So God is raising up these new rulers and leaders that will not have to depend on the giving of others. Some of them will have business concepts, ideas, and inventions that they can use to fund the gospel without relying on others. Others will be included in partnerships, or they will form partnerships that will produce revenues. And when they continue to obey God, they will be turned into God's storehouses. They will lend to nations and borrow from none. When a mission needs to be done, imagine this, a mission needs to be done. God says, this is the vision that I have. This is what you're going to have to do. Imagine being able to do it. And you're not stressing about, oh, are we going to pay the bills? Oh, we got to do a fundraiser. How are we ever going to afford this? Instead, you can go where the Lord sends you without trying to beg for money. So the way that we think about operating in ministry even is changing, guys. Our idea of full-time ministry has been incorrect. It's not about preaching. It's about walking with the Lord and obeying him. So we're going to see more prophets and apostles like that of David and Daniel and Abraham. Abraham was like a prince in his day, right? David went from a shepherd. Now, David was a prophet, but he went from a shepherd to a king, and yet he was still a prophet. Daniel was a governor of provinces in Babylon. So in the modern day, Daniel would be a politician or a governor of a state. You don't really imagine that kind of person being a prophet in the modern day. But God is raising up those kinds of people that we're moving away from this box that we've created it for ourselves, this box of full-time ministry. If you're a leader in the church, you've got to be a preacher, right? That's the kind of box we've created. Nope. We are going to see prophets, apostles, evangelists in the political arena, in the business arena, financial arena, in science and technology, in business, in media, in every sector of society. And not all of them will be preachers. In fact, many of them will not be preachers. And this is a part of God correcting the order of the church. The pastor is not supposed to be the head of the church. Preaching is not the ultimate. And yet, so many pastors have made it to where, well, I'm the pastor and everyone has to serve under me and make sure to sacrifice for me. That is changing in this day. Now, I'm not saying that preaching is going away. God is still calling people to be preacher. But Christian leadership does not equal preacher, right? And to follow and obey God does not mean that you're going to become a preacher. For Noah, following and obeying God meant becoming, you know, an architect and a builder and a carpenter and all these things so that he could build an ark. For David, following and obeying God meant becoming a king. We, the church, are supposed to be involved in every sector of society. So in 2026, a new breed of leaders will emerge, and in fact, many ministries will close. And they're going to be replaced by leaders that operate as kings and priests, according to the new kind of order and the new ways of doing things that God is establishing in his church. So there are going to be dramatic changes and dramatic shakings all throughout God's church. And for some of these changes, they may even look scary or intimidating when you first see it. But I want to encourage all of you, embrace the changes that God is bringing, because it is a part of this great move that he said, the likes of which has never happened in the history of the church. We need to embrace the changes that God is bringing forth. If we try to marry the old with the new, it'll be like those wineskins. It's going to burst. You're not going to be able to contain the anointing, and God is going to move on to somebody that will obey him. And I want to expound upon this idea of full-time ministry a little bit, because it is a concept that we've had in the church for many years. And for many years, what we've been doing is we have leaders that we preach to each other, preach at each other, and then we train up other leaders to preach at each other and quote the same scriptures, tell the same jokes even, tell the same kind of stories and all these things. And all we're doing is preaching at each other and then training other people how to preach. So our model for Christian leadership is wrong. Yes, some people are called to preachers, but there are many Christians that are supposed to go out into the world and transform it. We are the light of the world. Being the light of the world does not mean staying in the four walls of our church buildings. And if all, just let's take our current mindset and our current model to its end conclusion, okay? In an ideal world, how many humans would respond to the calling of God and obey him if everyone was righteous and everyone was perfect? Well, in an ideal world, it would be every single human, right? It's God's desire that everyone would follow him, everyone would obey him, right? So imagine a world where every single person on earth follows and obeys God. Now imagine if we do that in our current model, where the idea of you obey God and you serving the Lord means that you become a preacher and you start preaching. Are we just going to have an entire world of preachers? Who's going to run the country? Who's going to educate children? Who's going to create inventions and science and technology? Who's going to run the infrastructure that we rely on? Who's going to run the financial markets? Right? If everyone who obeyed the Lord and served the Lord went on and became a preacher, the world would just fall apart. And what we've done for way too many years is like, okay, well, I'm going to serve the Lord, so I'm going to pull out of the world And I'm going to begin preaching full time. And oh man, I just want to pray all day, every day. We have to walk in the world in obedience to the Lord. And you know what? We are not going to surrender those industries to the world anymore. So we need people who hear from God and obey God. We need them in the political arena. We need them in education. We need them in science and technology. We need Christian lawyers and scientists and healthcare professionals and programmers and all of these things. Why would we surrender it to the world? You know, we also need Christian movie directors, screenwriters, actors and actresses, musicians. We need people. And it's not that their mindset is that I am going to preach at people, right? That where I am, this is my podium. No, our mindset needs to be that my life is in service to God. And I am going to rely on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen to the Lord and obey him where he has sent me to go. Imagine if somebody like Daniel took the mindset that we take to this day, that I'm just going to pray or I'm just going to preach and that's how I'm going to serve the Lord. Then he would not have been seen as a trustworthy governor over the regions of Babylon that he was given authority over. See, when King Darius became king over that region, it says in the Bible that Darius was planning on putting Daniel over the entire kingdom. That means he was good at managing budgets. He was good at managing people. If there was some kind of governmental project that needed to be overseen, Daniel was the best man for the job, right? So that means that he was under budget, ahead of schedule, good at managing people, not corrupt. And when people saw this and they're like, oh, we got to cut this Daniel down a peg because he's going to take our job and we don't like this, right? They started trying to dig up dirt on Daniel. And they couldn't find anything. They found that he wasn't corrupt and he wasn't negligent. He was a good worker and was trustworthy in the position that he was given. Don't we need governors and senators and congressmen that are like Daniel? But nowadays, we don't think of Daniel as a politician. We think of him, well, he was a prophet and he saw visions of the Lord and all of these things, right? Because our walk with the Lord does not separate us from us operating in the world. In fact, we're supposed to operate in the world as the light of the world wherever God placed you, okay? So preaching is not at the top anymore. It is not going to be seen as the top of the hierarchy, being a preacher. In this day and age, God is even going to raise up billionaires and millionaires that hear his voice and that obey him. And that's what we need in this day. Let me tell you, it is time for the financial industry to be under the influence of the body of Christ. It's time for the tech companies and social media companies to be under the influence of the kingdom of God. Why are we relying on unbelievers to manage all of these things? It's because we've been running away from the world. And instead, we live in our box, the four walls of the church. And that is not the case anymore. So dramatic changes are coming in 2026. All of us now need to yield to the Holy Spirit, begin pursuing God and obeying him. And God may take you to unexpected places. He may take you to a place that maybe you didn't even imagine for yourself. Maybe you even started a business and you got the name and all these things. And maybe God ends up tweaking it to where your business ends up looking different than you had imagined. Maybe you thought that you were going to start a ministry that looked like this, and then now God starts tweaking it and turning it into something different than you imagined. Or maybe you thought you were going to be in one position doing one job or one thing, and now you're being sent somewhere else. What I'm telling you now is embrace the changes that God is bringing before you. It is part of your preparation for your calling in this move of God, the likes of which has never happened in the history of the church. Go before the Lord. We should not assume anything anymore. Even if it worked in the past, do not assume you know. You have to ask God and submit to him. And the other thing that God is nipping in the butt in this season is that, especially us as leaders, we need to stop talking so much about ourselves. You see, something that happened, unfortunately, that derailed the kind of word of faith movement, the name it and claim it, this heavy faith movement that happened among evangelicals and Protestants, was that many of the leaders started focusing so much on themselves and started focusing on the finances. And we started equating, well, you know, if you've got a big house, if you're able to pay for these things in cash, that means you're blessed and you're obeying the Lord and all these things. And there was this thing where there was almost a showmanship where I'm going to show off and look at how the Lord blessed me. And the focus shifted away from Christ onto self. So I want to really admonish everyone, especially right now, if you're in the leadership position, you have to ensure that you are not putting the spotlight on yourself. Yes, sometimes we tell stories about what happened in our lives, but we have to remember that we are always directing the glory and the focus to God. And this is a thing that we have to be very mindful of, because if we can fall into this kind of self-worship, even now when we don't have influence, let me tell you, when you have influence and riches and resources, you will 100% fall into it. So let us not talk so much about ourselves. Let us instead walk in faithful obedience to God and let the hand of God be made evident through what he does in our lives. And for those of you that feel like, oh, well, I'm not being appreciated and I deserve this or I deserve that, when will I get this title? When will I get the podium, right? There's some of you out there that feel like you're supposed to be in my position, or you're supposed to have a podium or a congregation or a ministry of your own because you're an apostle or you're a prophet or all these things. And you're thinking to yourself, well, when will I be acknowledged? When will I be established? What I'm telling you right now is stop looking for those things and trying to make happen those things that you think you deserve. God is the one who anoints and appoints, and God is the one who will establish this new breed of leaders. It's like in the time of Joshua. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 4, that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they stood in awe of Moses. So God was the one who established Joshua in sight of all the nation. And Joshua, by the way, was not the son of Moses. He wasn't related to Moses at all. God didn't pick Moses, his sons, to succeed him. He picked Joshua because Joshua was somebody who desired the presence of God and would obey God faithfully. So stop looking for what we think we deserve, what you think, oh, when will they acknowledge me? When they acknowledge us, I need to make a name for myself. I need to establish my own ministry. When you have this focus, you are falling into the same pride that Satan fell into, right? It says that Satan said, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. I will make a throne for myself, right? Understand, this is the same kind of spirit. We have to live our life giving honor to the Lord. And if you're ready for it, and if you're prepared, then God will establish you in the arena he called you to do. So brothers and sisters, we are living in an exciting season. There are big changes coming in this year, 2026, and some of them will happen rapidly. Some of them might seem intimidating or even scary. There's a new generation of leaders that God's raising up. There's a new way of thinking about ministry that God's bringing in his church. Some ministries are going to close and others are going to open. These are all a part of the shakings. And I'm telling you right now, embrace the changes. Forget the former things. Embrace the new things. As Jesus said himself, nobody puts new wine into old wineskins. The new wine is coming forth because if you do this, the old wineskins will burst, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. If you try to hold on to the old, that is exactly what you are doing in this season. And I'm telling you right now, we have to embrace the changes that God is bringing in his church, but it's all for the furtherance of the gospel. It's an exciting time that we're living in, brothers and sisters. So get ready and enroll in the school of the Holy Spirit. Submit to God in all things. But I am out of time for this week, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. And again, Happy New Year. Let's get ready for 2026. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.